Hey, everyone. Here's what I'm wondering. Have you ever watched someone in your life making a decision and you thought to yourself, that's probably not going to end very well? Nobody? Have you ever watched someone get into like a relationship or a financial decision or a career thing or whatever and you thought, that's probably going to be a disaster? Yes, I have, right? Right, it's obvious to us. The writing's on the wall. It seems so clear. Why can't they see the mess that they're going to make or the pain or the regret that that's going to lead to? And maybe you try to talk to them, but like they don't listen and you can't seem to get through to them. Or they come to you and they ask for advice, but they've already made their mind up, right? Why are you asking me? You're already going to do what you've decided to do already before. What are we doing? Okay? I'm hoping. Thank you. And you watch, and it actually is quite sad. You watch someone go down this path, and it's like, sure enough, it's like watching an accident happening in slow motion, and it can be so, it's painful to watch. You feel for that person. It's frustrating and all these things. So, for the month of February, we're doing this series, Unfiltered, where we're talking about some real life, sometimes messy issues. And here's where that scenario that I just mentioned, here's where it gets real for us, like you, me, when we're that person that we just described. Oh, that's not as fun. That's much more difficult to bring up or to admit, right? Yet we can all look back and think of decisions that we regret or messes that we've made that we've got to try to get out of somehow. I mean, without thinking too hard, we can all think of a list of things we wish we had done differently. Why did I listen to those people? Why did I listen to myself? Why didn't we see the obvious? Now, when I think about the things in my life that I regret, here's the thing. I typically find that I had a role in them. That's the thing about regret, right? Of course, there are things that happen to us that are bad sometimes, and we don't usually regret or have remorse over those things because we had nothing to do with them. Regret implies that I had agency. As Andy Stanley says rather annoyingly, you have participated in every bad decision you've ever made. Right? Where was I? Oh, right there, like front row the whole time. And it's so frustrating because, we can look back and we realize now there were probably people in our life who saw that, people who like weren't even geniuses. Just average people who are like, that's not going to be good. And we can see it now, but we couldn't, of course, see it then, but they could see it. And so this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about one way that we can make better, wiser decisions going forward. Like this one area where if we kind of applied this, we could actually avoid some regret down the road. We could avoid some pain and some messes in the future. I mean, we all know, of course, we can't change the past, but literally thank God for grace. Thank God for, looking back at the mistakes and the regrets. Thank God for forgiveness and mercy and that he doesn't judge us based on our performance or how well we measure up. And so, of course, there's grace. There's forgiveness for all of us in Jesus. That said, I don't think God likes it when we have to suffer some of the consequences. That's different than grace. When we have to suffer some of the reality or consequences of our poor choices at times. But like a good parent, it seems like God loves us enough to let us learn things. Anybody else learn things the hard way kind of people? That's like my specialty, okay? So if you need advice on that. God wants to make his wisdom available to all of us. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. So we can actually ask God for wisdom. And the promise is that he will give it to us. And one of the ways that he does that is through the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit with us, within us, guiding us. Another way God gives wisdom is through, obviously, through Scripture, through what his word has to say about things. But he's given us something else that we're going to get to in just a minute. Something, a way of gaining wisdom that we might be tempted to dismiss or to overlook or to consider not very spiritual or not all that necessary. So this morning, this is like as practical and like real life as I know how to make something. Some of you will say this is too practical, okay? Maybe. I don't know. So let me, first of all, let's dig a little deeper on this. Why is it that we can't see mistakes coming sometimes and other people can? Let me turn that around. Why is it that I can see trouble coming your way and you sometimes can't see it? Why is it you can see trouble headed my way and I'm the last person sometimes to know? And what do we do about that? You know what's funny is a lot of times we look back and again, it's obvious. Have you ever had that thought where you look and you go, I knew when I was interviewing that something, there's something a little off. But I didn't say anything because, I don't know. I just went with it, right? And it was a disaster. Or like, I saw signs, warning signs of the relationship that there's some bad things from the beginning, but I dismissed them. And now, fast forward a year later, it's a year of my life that I'm not going to get back filled with, you know, some pain. And of course, hindsight is always usually 20/20. One reason that we can't see this in our own lives in the moment is emotion. Emotion can blind us sometimes. It's like driving in like heavy fog. You can't see very clearly. You can't like make out what's ahead. And so chances are your, my biggest regrets, whether it's a night or a relationship or a financial thing or a whole season of life, odds are that emotion went into that decision, right? That emotion at least played a part in things going a little bit off the rails. I was afraid. I was afraid of being alone. There was an insecurity. I was jealous, you know, whatever it is. You know what's funny is that we can see this so easily in other people. Have you ever said that? You're like, they're smarter than this. I can't believe they're falling for this. You know, it's like, it's clearly emotion, but it's much more difficult to see in ourselves. The reason, by the way, when someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm wrestling with this thing, I don't know what to do, why sometimes it's very clear, like you go, I know what to do, get out, right? Or you need to, here's another one. You have 2.5 months left until you graduate. Go ahead and finish. That's just in case that applies to somebody. And it's very clear. It's very obvious to you because the decision doesn't affect you. It doesn't really involve you. And so therefore, emotion isn't at play. Therefore, you can see things much more clearly than that person at times. The other thing that blinds us when we're the ones making the decision is inexperience. There are areas of life we're just naive. And that's not necessarily bad. It's just for all of us. I mean, if you think about this, every season, every stage of life for all of us at some point is brand new. So how could we know? How could we have experience with something we've never experienced? So that means if you're 16, you can't possibly know what it's like to be 45 with a family and a career and a mortgage. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just how life works. And so in any area of life, whether that's marriage or parenting or business or managing a household or whatever, how could you know what you're doing if you've never been in that place before? We all have blind spots. The problem that we run into is a little bit of pride creeps in at this point. It's a little bit of arrogance for some of us that we don't want to admit that we don't know. We don't want to face the fact that we don't know what we don't know, or that a lot is at stake and we're being driven by emotion and we don't want to ask for help. There's a phrase, there's something called, this is a fun one, competency extrapolation. Competency extrapolation. That's a fancy way of saying just because you have success or have expertise or knowledge in one area, that doesn't mean it automatically translates over here to a completely unrelated. But we make that, we actually fall into that, right? Because I do well over here, and I've got some experience, I've got some insight. That means I must know what to do here. And we extrapolate. And really, we lack experience, but we don't want to admit it. Making wise decisions requires that we remain open. And to be open, we have to be humble. We have to acknowledge when we're at risk for emotion or inexperience to be driving the whole process. To admit, I don't know, or I need help, or I am clouded by emotion. Now, the writer of Proverbs in the Bible, a guy named Solomon, regarded as the wisest person, I would say second to Jesus, right? Wisest person who ever lived. One of the things that Solomon repeats a lot throughout his Proverbs. In fact, he actually states his goal. Proverbs chapter 1, he says, the point of me writing this is so that the wise would have more wisdom and that the young or the naive would actually gain in knowledge and understanding and wisdom as well. One of the things that comes up over and over in the Proverbs is the importance of asking for advice, of seeking counsel in your life from other people, that one of the main things that God uses to give us wisdom is the counsel and the advice from those around us. I just don't want you to miss the irony of Solomon. Remember who's saying that? Wisest person ever writes more about seeking counsel than any other biblical writer. You see that? That's not what you maybe expect. You might argue that one of the ways he became so wise is because he practiced this. If nothing else, we should go, whoa, something to think about, right? Or not. Proverbs chapter 1, here's a couple of examples. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. Even if you already have wisdom, experience, all that, you can get more by listening. You don't graduate from this. This is not just for beginners. Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools think they know how to do everything. They don't need input from anyone. I was a kid, so at one point I was a kid. Obviously, I know how to be a parent. You see that? That's a logical fallacy, right? I watch a ton of HGTV, so clearly I can do the renovations myself. I got to tell you this. I've said this before, but it's because I can't forgive myself of this. Like 10 years ago, it was a long time ago, the sink in my bathroom was clogged up, and I ended up having to take the trap out, like the U-shaped trap. And I should have had a bucket. Oh, yeah, I just saw a plumber. This is bad. I should have had a bucket or something to put it in, right? But I didn't. And so the thing's full of nasty, disgusting water. You unscrew it, and I'm, you know, I stand up like, ah, where am I going to put this disgusting water? Do you know what I did? I dumped it down the sink. What am I saying? I'm saying wise people know when they need advice and seek it out. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Don't just get help from one person, get help from lots of people. It's one of the secrets of wise people. In fact, we miss this and we see someone who's wise and we go, they must just be born with this, right? When in fact, they've just made it a habit of knowing when they don't know something, and instead of deceiving themselves, instead of pretending like they know, instead of talking more or talking louder to convince themselves and other people that they know, they ask. And it creates wisdom in their lives. One more, Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you'll be counted among the wise. It takes a lot of humility to do this, doesn't it? If you're a parent or a leader or new on the job to say, I don't know what to do here. Could you help me? Could you walk me through? Could you give me some insight? And the thing is, God is more than willing to do this. He wants to give us wisdom. He wants to help us avoid some of these messes that we can see looking back. He wants to help us avoid that going forward. And one of the ways that he does this is through people. He's given us each other for a reason. And we have this opportunity to avoid some grief and some heartache in life. If only we'll do step one, ask for counsel. If only we'll just admit that we're in new territory, that we're in over our heads, that we don't know what to do, that we're struggling in this area or with temptation or whatever it is. It's very simple, yet it's one of those things that's much easier said than done. If you have a Bible, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 12. I want to look at a story here briefly that pulls a lot of this together, and then there's some key takeaways for us. And here's the background for what we're going to read. If you remember, like Old Testament Israel days, maybe this is new for some of us, which is fine, but there's King Saul, who was the very first king of Israel, first guy, and he was kind of bad, right? And then after Saul, there was, not related to him, but another guy named King David. King David was, mostly good, right? And then after that was David's son, Solomon. And Solomon did really, really well, except for the ending, which was bad. Largely because he did not take his own advice. Go figure. What you're saying is nobody's entirely good or entirely bad? Come on. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, that's another thought. Okay. God gives Solomon a prophecy. And God says, Solomon, because here at the end, you're going off the rails and you haven't honored me with your whole life. Because of that, the kingdom of Israel, the future is actually on shaky ground. It's at stake. And then God goes to a guy named Jeroboam through a prophet. And the prophet says to Jeroboam, hey, things aren't going great with Solomon. If it continues on this path and the kingdom is ultimately fractured, divided, the prophet says, Jeroboam, you're going to get a big part of that. You're going to have a role to play. So there's all this political stuff. It's a chaotic time for Israel. You know, just try to imagine what that might be like. Anyway, Solomon finds out about Jeroboam and considers Jeroboam to be like a threat. And so Solomon wants Jeroboam to be like a little bit dead. Okay? Jeroboam finds out about Solomon and he actually flees to Egypt to escape Solomon. Now, one more thing. Solomon has, by this point, a now grown son named Rehoboam. Not to be confused with Jeroboam, okay? Son, this is why we're putting this up here. Son, Rehoboam, and Solomon, in the middle of all this, dies. Leaving Rehoboam to be, I guess, the guy, everyone thinks, to carry on with the kingdom as king like things have always been. Now here's where we pick this up. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, heir apparent, went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, the other guy, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon. He return from Egypt. So now this guy, Jeroboam, comes back and he's a bit of a contender. He's putting a little pressure on Rehoboam, the new king. Verse 3, so they sent for Jeroboam and he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and said to him, your father Solomon put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us and we will serve you. In other words, Rehoboam, please lighten up on us. Like your dad was, we were constantly building things and it was a lot of work and expanding and he wore us out. We're tired. Now, there's a lot at stake for Rehoboam in this moment. How many days has he been king? Like 5 minutes, right? So a lot is at stake. He's just getting started. And to lighten up on them, may have communicated that he was, again, their worldview, right? That he was like a weak king. Like, if I give in on this day one, then it's just going to be constantly, you know, I'll be held hostage to the request of the people, or however it was he looked at that. Verse 5, Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days and then come back to me." So the people went away. Rehoboam asks for what? Some time. Ding, ding, ding. That's a good idea, isn't it? He actually does something even better than that next, because he's going to ask for counsel. Verse 6, "Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. 'How would you advise me to answer these people?' he asked." Now, real quick, where do you think Rehoboam got the impulse to ask the elders for advice? Any guesses? Probably from watching his father Solomon do that all growing up. Anytime Solomon was in a dilemma, he brought in that's why he had the elders, to consult with them and to get their counsel. It was like Solomon's secret weapon. So Rehoboam, likewise, seeks counsel from the elders. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants." What are they saying? You need to lighten up. Like, the wise thing to do is let's bring the tone down a little bit, okay? And that is the voice of wisdom in Rehoboam's life. What do you think he does? Verse 8, Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted with, I have an idea, the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He rejects the advice of the elders, and who does he go to? The ding-dongs who he grew up with, who now work for him and therefore don't want to upset him. So you see the problem. Verse 9, he asked them, "What is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, and here is their brilliant advice, "These people have said to you, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist.'" That's not how we would make a scary threat. I get that, but just insert your own. "My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions." Now, it's not hard to see the insecurity at play here. Rehoboam, you need to rule with fear, and you need to rule with power. You need to show them who's boss, A, and B, you probably should make them regret even asking for leniency in the first place. That's what we think you should do. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam. As the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, blah, 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 blah. The bad stuff again, right? We've already heard this. Yeah. Rehoboam rejects the advice of the elders and he goes with what his buddies have to say. Any guesses what happens? Bad. Kingdom is divided. Jeroboam, the other guy, becomes king of, like, a civil war. He becomes king of all the northern kingdoms, and it's just Game of Thrones, all this, except for, anyway, but a lot of that. Actually, here is what's so challenging about this. Rehoboam was smart enough to know what he didn't know. So that's good. He knew, this is a big deal. There are implications. I don't know what to do. I should ask some people. A lot of us in this room have that going for us, right? We know at least when we should ask, when we're clouded by emotion, when the stakes are high. Now, granted, sometimes we'll do the thing where we ask after the fact. Anyone do that? Should have asked before, but now I've made a huge mess. What do you think? Help. You know? Better late than never, probably, and you can always find a way to make things worse. So, good for you. Here's where the story pushes us and why it's so relevant for us in this room, and probably why it makes us, where it makes us uncomfortable. It's not enough to ask for advice. It's really important to consider who we ask. And secondly, all the good advice in the world means nothing if we don't follow it. You know what the worst part about this is? The irony that Rehoboam moved forward with his decision with all the confidence in the world that he was doing the best thing. I mean, if you could have interviewed him, Rehoboam, tell us, how do you feel about this decision? You know, it's a tough decision, but I've prayed about it, and I feel really good. I feel like I got a feeling in my gut that this is the absolute, yeah. And he walks forward to his own, essentially, doom. Which means there is not necessarily a relationship between how confident I feel and whether or not this decision is very wise that I'm leaning toward. Did you know that we often think those two things go together? A guy named Alan Jacobs, who wrote a book called How to Think, he says one of our problems is we don't actually think as clearly as we think we think. He says it better than that. One of the problems, and by the way, we agree with that, but we just thought of other people who do that. We think when we're thinking that we're thinking clearly. Here's one example with, you know, you take something that's debatable, a debatable topic, and if somebody agrees with you, what do you say about that person thinking that you're thinking? They're so intelligent. They're so thoughtful and reasonable, and it's like they get it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I like this person. What happens when somebody disagrees on this debatable topic with you? Somebody got to them, right? They don't get it. Like, they're not thinking, right? We're not talking about thinking. You understand the, okay, it's okay. I'm not explaining it very well. Matt, it sounds like what you're saying is maybe I can't always trust my instincts and my gut feeling. But I just got a feeling, though. I got a feeling about this. Are you saying, Matt, that that might not be right? Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. Matt, it sounds like at times I need, that you're saying I need to protect myself from like myself. That is 1,000% exactly what I am saying, especially when we're facing a decision where there's a lot of emotion or where we lack experience. Fortunately, God doesn't just leave us on our own and say, good luck. He's given us some really helpful resources if we're wise enough to use them. So a couple of things that we can do from all of this. We need to seek counsel from people who have nothing to lose by telling you the truth. It's a really big one. We all have friends who are more concerned with the friendship than they are with the truth. We have friends, coworkers, roommates who will just tell us what we want to hear. That was Rehoboam's problem, right? The people in his life he was listening to had something at stake. They told him what they thought he wanted to hear, and it was the exact opposite of what they should have said. Of course, who we listen to, just in general, has influence in our lives. Notice that when Rehoboam, when he goes to the elders, he says, what do you all think I should do? And then he goes to his buddies and he goes, what should we say? You see how who we align ourselves with actually has more influence in our lives than we realize. And we don't like to admit this, and we like to think that I'm sophisticated, you know? I'm independent. I have this thing where I'm completely objective and I'm not influenced by other people. And the truth is, these people that we have connections with, formal or informal, it could be friends, spouse, coworkers, teammates, they just gain influence, and their words often weigh heavier in our lives. They have ability to tilt our perspective. So again, why don't we do this? And part of it, oftentimes, it is pride. You know, I'm smart. Should be able to figure this out. Besides, if I ask for counsel, then they might realize I don't know everything or whatever. So I'll just pretend or act confident. The other strange thing is, like Rehoboam, we can always find people in our lives who will tell us exactly what we want to hear. He gets his buddies. There's all this momentum in the room. Show them, Rehoboam. That rhymed. Be tough. Be tough. Show them who's boss. And he's like, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I'll do. And he walks out confident that he's doing the wise thing. And it couldn't be farther from the truth. Maybe the bigger question, yes, who are you listening to? Very important. Let's say it a different way for fun. Who are you avoiding listening to? And we can always find like hundreds of people to support us. Who's that one person, those two people you're avoiding talking to about this? It could be a parent, a wise person, a mentor, someone who has a lot of perspective. Because we know what they're going to say and we don't want to hear it. So you're dating someone and things are going great and you're, you know, your friends are all like, they're amazing. She's so incredible and whatever the thing is. And why haven't you moved in together, for example? Just to pick one that's not awkward. And, you know, it's cheaper. And you got all these arguments, right? And yet there's like the one person, there's like two people. I don't want to tell them about my relationship because they're liable to ask like a good question. They're liable to say like, I'm a little bit concerned that things are moving too quickly. I'm a little bit concerned that you're making decisions that don't reflect your level of commitment and that you're going to get hurt. And so you avoid that person. Here's what I do. You ready? I tell myself things like, they're old. Obviously, they don't get it. I really don't. I tell them, but like, they're going to be judgmental. This is like a grown-up thought. Ready? Just because someone is judgmental, it actually doesn't mean that they're wrong. What? I know. And like that, you guys don't like that at all. I can tell. And just because someone is like, you're wonderful, you're amazing, just you be you and follow your heart and all that stuff, that doesn't mean that they're right. You see that? We have a breakdown with that in our culture at large. Anyway, we'll move on, okay, because I'm getting some really bad looks from some people. My point is, in these situations where we avoid asking those one or two people, that should be a giant red flag, warning sirens going off. You need to, at the very least, slow down. The problem is some of us are really good at just pushing through anyway. And you're good, like we're good at arguing. You can kind of argue your husband or your wife to finally agree with you. You know, kids, you can get your parents to go, okay, what? Whatever. I don't do that. You can get the team or the board to say, okay, fine, we'll do it your way. And you're really convincing because you have good stories and you have data and you have slides. And what else do you have? You have experts online and you've got a whole blogging community that supports whatever it is, literally whatever it is. And all these things. And you have convinced yourself almost beyond a shadow of a doubt. But there is a shadow of a doubt that's about this big, and that doubt is linked to one person or two people, maybe. You don't want to tell about it because you know they would tell you the truth. You see this tension? So, I'm going to move on. Is that okay? Okay. Choose someone who is where you want to be in life when you're asking for counsel. They're where you want to be in your marriage or spiritually or as a parent or financially or whatever. It's saying, hey, I really respect you and what in this area. You know, here's my life. What would you do? Or how'd you do it? What would you do if you were me? Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Isn't that a good verse? And obviously, he's talking about people, you know, spiritually who've gone before us and that we can model our lives, but it likely applies to other areas where we respect, we admire someone, and where we say to them, as much as it depends on me, I'd like to end up like you in this area. The point is, oftentimes we ask for counsel, this is what Rehoboam did, of people who are no farther along than we are. So, you know, you're having marriage problems and a guy walks past your office and you're like, hey, dude, get in here, sit down. You shut the door. And he sits down and he's like just as dumb as you are, right? And you're like, here's my story, my wife and blah, 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 da, da, da. And he says to you, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'll tell you what I'd say if I were you. First clue that this is not going to be great, right? I'd go home and I'd put my foot down and I'd tell her, you know, da, 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 right? And you think to yourself, this is brilliant. This is amazing. You're right. I've never thought of saying that. I can't wait to go home. And of course, in reality, disaster awaits you. It takes a lot of humility to submit myself. Again, we're talking about good, wise sources. To someone, it takes humility to submit and to say, think about this. I trust you in this area more than I trust myself. That's a big deal, isn't it? Because we consider ourselves often as like the ultimate authority. I trust you. Look, I've made a mess with my finances. Here's my budget. Here's my numbers. Here's my statements, all that stuff. Here it is. What do I do? Because I need help. I'm coming to you. And because I need some parenting advice, here's the situation. And you've raised teenagers, so what would you do if you were me and going through this? Lastly, go into conversations with people you're seeking counsel from, open to the fact that God very well might speak to you through that person. Yes, God speaks within us through his Spirit. Yes, God often speaks through Scripture. And to be sure, like the advice that we're getting, the decisions that we're weighing, it needs to line up with, to use an old phrase, the whole counsel of Scripture, that the two aren't, and that we're not just taking a verse out of context to justify. Anyway, the person, by the way, that you're meeting with tells you, God told me to tell you. That is your cue to begin politely packing your belongings to move on. Too far? Oh, you don't have to do that. I'm just telling you what I as a pastor do when that happens, okay? So anyway, you don't have to over-spiritualize this. But haven't you had this happen where you're getting advice from someone and they're just telling you what they learned. Maybe they learned it the hard way. And they're sharing their experience. And something they say, a word, a story, a phrase, it maybe triggers another thought in you. Light bulb goes off and it's like, that's it. That's exactly what God wants me to do. And if you ask them, hey, is God speaking through you right now? They go, I don't know. I'm just talking. But yet God is using that person to give you direction and clarity. That means you might not want to text somebody and say, hey, meet me at the coffee shop tomorrow. God told me you're going to be a vessel of the Lord and a mouthpiece into my life on my behalf or whatever. Okay, you can do that. You can do that if you want, but you're going to make it weird. So, and it puts pressure on that person. Trust me. My point is you would be amazed at how many times God wants to use the body of Christ to bring wisdom and insight and direction into our lives. Now, that is not a less spiritual approach. So I want to end with a couple questions and then we'll pray together. Number one, who are you listening to? Whose advice do you lean into? Is it wise advice? Do they have your best interest at heart? Or could they be doing the thing where they need you to do what they're doing to feel better about what they're doing? Therefore, it's bad advice, potentially. Who do you need to quit listening to? since I've already irritated everyone, let me just go ahead and ask this. Who do people that you respect wish that you would stop listening to? Who does your husband or your wife wish you'd quit paying so much attention to? Who do your parents wish you'd stop listening to? Who should you be listening to? People who, again, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate them. And here's the cool thing. Chances are God has been gracious to each person in this room. Chances are that every time we're on the verge of making a not great decision that's going to lead to regret and messes and all that, that in those moments, God, in his grace, he gives you one person sometimes, maybe two people, not 100, not 1,000, but one or two people, a parent, a grandparent, a small group leader, a coach, a mentor, whatever it is. And it's exactly what we need to hear. The challenge is often the thing that we least want to hear is in many ways the thing that we need to hear the most. Am I willing to invite that person in? Someone who can see what you can't see or you're pretending not to see. And then lastly, what is it you don't want to hear but need to? That piece of advice you're dodging again. The last thing we want to hear is often the thing that we need to hear the most. Would you stand and we will pray. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to lift up my brothers and sisters here in this room. Lord, the people here in the midst of, or in the midst of a difficult decision or season or circumstance, and we desperately need wisdom. We need guidance. Father, I pray that you would speak through your Spirit. I pray that you would bring truth to us through Scripture. I also pray, Lord, that we would have the courage to utilize the gift that you've given us in each other. That we would ask, that we would seek counsel when we need help, when we're clouded by emotion, when we lack experience, when we don't know what else to do. Lord, give us the humility to ask, and Lord, the courage to maybe do the thing that we least want to hear, that you'd help us to discern and to hear your voice in all of that. Lord, again, we just thank you for grace and forgiveness and how you look at us and see us as your beloved sons and daughters because of Jesus. And thank you that you also want to give us wisdom, that we could choose life, we could experience the life that you have for us as we move forward. May we honor you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Can I leave you with this final benediction? May God bless you with wise counsel, with individuals to come alongside of you, people who want the best for you and are willing to help you get there. May you receive the gift of the wisdom of God, which often comes through other people. And may you submit your lives to the wisdom that God is graciously making available to you. Be blessed, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.